of what we're going to be doing this morning. It's something similar to that. As we take a look back at some of the things that God has been doing in our church, and as we look forward to where God is leading us, and to try to kind of paint a picture, if you will, of the plans and the purposes of God here at Siloam Springs Bible Church. And so that's kind of what we're going to be doing this morning. And if you would pray with me as we embark upon that, I would much appreciate it. Lord, we thank you that we can gather here today to worship you. Lord, that we do so with brothers and sisters in Christ, members of one body that you have called together in this place for your purposes. Lord, we pray that this morning as we meet together, as we turn our focus on you and upon your word, Lord, upon all that we see you doing around us, God, that you would bind us together in one heart and one mind by your spirit, Lord, that we are part of one body. Lord, that we all possess that same spirit, your Holy Spirit in us. And God, that through this you would enable us to work together as parts, different parts of the same body, in order to be who you've called us to be and to accomplish what you have called us to do. Lord, all of this for the glory of Christ, who is our Savior and our Lord, and in whose name we pray. Amen. All right, so this last Monday, I was watching a football game on New Year's Day, and one of my daughters came in and asked if this was the Rose Bowl. We had watched the parade earlier that morning. And I said, no, this was the Sugar Bowl. And she said, I don't understand. I don't understand all the college bowls. And I said, well, let me try to explain. And so I started to try to explain, you know, the history of the bowl system, and then how they got to the playoff, and how they had to kind of merge those two things together with the bowl system, and how. And I pretty soon realized that it was really confusing. And what seemed, at least to me, as somebody who has followed this, you know, for a couple of decades at least, seemed rather obvious to me, was clearly not obvious to her at all. And it's true, when you think about different things, maybe that you have interests or hobbies that you have, that you just seem to be obvious, and it's easy to assume that to other people those things are just as obvious. Well, the same thing can happen in churches, right? And I think especially with those who are involved in leadership positions in the church. I think of our deacons, our elders, also those who are involved in leading various ministries, who are involved in serving in those ministries. It's easy to think that everybody just understands, right, and knows what we're about and what we're doing, and where we're headed, and sees all of the things that God is doing around us, and to make a lot of assumptions that maybe aren't necessarily true. So my hope this morning in sharing some of the things that we're going to be sharing and talking about and taking this sort of look back and then this look forward is so that we all can operate on sort of that same page together as the body of Christ. That we wouldn't be making assumptions assuming that we're all there and know what's going on, but that together we can pray, together we can seek the Lord, together we can serve for His glory. I'd like to start by reading a passage of Scripture that we are going to come back to a little bit later. And it's a wonderful passage that talks about what a church can be. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 2 through 10. Paul writes, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly remembering you or mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only did the word has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything, for they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He has raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. All right, well, I want to begin this morning by taking a look back at 2017, which really has been a tremendous year here at Siloam Springs Bible Church for a number of reasons. And I want to start by going back to last spring when our deacons and elders got together and began a process of re-examining the mission and the vision of our church, the values of our church. And I think we shared a little bit about that at one of our business meetings, maybe in June, kind of working our way through that process. We had some help. We had an organization from the Evangelical Free Church that came in and helped us as we went back and looked. And it was a great time of study. It was in some ways very reaffirming and in some ways very eye-opening. We went back and we looked at our mission and our vision. And I say it was reaffirming because we began to realize that in really every sense, this is still exactly what we're about. If you put that slide up about our mission and our vision, that we are a church that exists to glorify God by loving Him and making disciples. It's on our wall. I guess you didn't have to put the slide up because it's right there every Sunday for us to read. And that is really what we're about. That everything that we do here at this church is intended to bring glory to God through our love for Him in context of a relationship with Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the process as well to help others to do the same, to make disciples, those who are followers of Christ, who are passionate for Him and in serving Him. And so that is really still what everything that we are about as a church. Now, our vision statement is sort of how that happens. That is done through building these caring relationships that connect our home, our community, and the world to Jesus. And so we began to look at that, and again, we're all in agreement that this is still what we are about as a church. Then we began to look at sort of the values. If you kind of think of this in a framework, that second part of the frame is the values of our church. And you may remember last summer I was preaching through those core values of our church and looking at the scriptures that underlie each of those. And again, we saw that those values haven't really changed. That we are still a church that is centered on God and His Word. That is what is the foundation for all of our teaching and preaching and how we grow in our own walk with Christ is through our knowledge of Him and the study of His Word. That we are about equipping believers. That we believe that each person who comes into a faith relationship with Jesus Christ is called by Him to serve. And so we want to be involved in helping people to be empowered and equipped to serve God. And that is done, again, through these relationships, our relationship first and foremost with God, but also our relationship with other people within the body of Christ. And then finally, we kind of combined a couple of the ones about making disciples and multiplying and came up with this idea of mobilization for multiplication, which encompasses the idea of reaching others for Christ, helping them to grow in Christ, both locally but also globally. And certainly we are a church that is centered on and focused on God's work both here and around the world. So we began to see again sort of a reaffirmation of that part of the picture frame, but then we started to see that the picture got a little bit fuzzy in some areas. And particularly as we talked about sort of the strategy of how we would go about doing this and then also sort of the goal. What is it we're trying to shoot for? And so we started to look at that. And we realize that we have some work to do, and in particular we have some work to do because as time has gone on, our church has continued to grow. God has continued to bring people to this to this body. And I think at our business meeting in December, this next slide was, a portion of this was shared, as we talked about our facility and some of our space needs and so forth. And you can see, you know, just how attendance has continued to increase over the last 6 years. And yet, the reason I share this slide is for this reason, because when we look at these numbers, and we showed them on the business meeting on the 17th, it's easy to think of this as numbers and to forget what this is really, what this represents. Those numbers represent people. It represents the lives of people and families. People that God is bringing to this body to grow in fellowship with Him, to be servants of Him, to use their gifts for Him and for His glory. And so each one of those are people that God wants us to be involved in the lives, the lives of each other. There is both a blessing here, and it is an incredible blessing, but it is also a responsibility. It's a part of a call to who we are. And so sometimes, again, as we think about these sort of assumptions that we sometimes make, it's easy to fall into this pattern of assuming that because I'm getting connected in, you know, maybe I've been at this church for a while and I've got relationships here, and maybe I'm a part of a small group and I go, you know, I'm involved in Sunday school and I'm serving Christ in this ministry or that ministry, and it's easy to think that because I'm doing okay, so is everybody else, right? I'm growing and I'm serving, and so is the rest of the body of Christ. And so we began to look at that as elders and deacons, and we thought, really, we need to be a lot more intentional. As God brings more people, we have to be more intentional about helping one another to grow in Christ. And so we looked at some specific areas, some things that we said, okay, these are some areas where we want to try to focus in order to accomplish, again, what God is calling us to be, or who God is calling us to be and what God is calling us to do as a body of Christ. And so I want to share a little bit about some of those with you. The first one, and I don't have a slide for this, so you're going to have to write these down. Now, the first one is just how we welcome people into the body of Christ here. This is an area that, especially this last year, we had a lot of new families come. You saw the numbers there. And I began to, as I talked with some of those families that were attending and new here, I began to see that the path to getting involved isn't always real clear to people. And so we looked at that, and one of the things that we did this last year was to put together a packet of information that someone who's new could receive that has information about different ministries, contacts for people, so that they could get in touch with those that maybe are in charge of ministries they might be interested in being involved in. Now, that's a step, but then we had another step, which was our welcome team, and that is the people who do the welcome desk and our greeters and our ushers all got together, the leadership, and started to look at this as well. But you know, really when it comes down to it, as you think about as a church, how we connect with people who are new here, it can't be just a few people. But it really has to be an atmosphere and an attitude of the whole body of Christ. That we all are recognizing that as people come and they're new, that they don't necessarily know anyone, and they don't have names, and they don't know maybe when ministries meet, and maybe it would be kind of scary to go to one of these ministries for the first time. And so how can we get to know one another, learning not just names, but learning about each other, and then, again, involving people in the life of the body of Christ? The second area that kind of moves from just getting to know each other into, again, more of these authentic and intentional relationships is our small group ministry. And our deacons and elders, again, said this is something that is really important and significant as a church, that if we want to make disciples for the glory of Christ, this is an area of ministry that's going to be significant in the years to come. I think right now we have about six or seven adult small groups. that meet on a regular basis. And this last year we added about, I think in the fall, we added about 25 new people and maybe two new groups to that ministry. We also this last year saw our college ministry begin small groups. And I think there's about six of those that meet now on a regular basis. And then our GAP ministry, our children's ministry, Mothering Matters, all of those operate on that same sort of model of having growth groups, smaller groups of people that can know each other, that knows what's going on in the lives of one another, can be praying for each other, helping to study the Word and encouraging one another in Christ. And again, that is what happens, or ideally what will happen in each of these settings, in each of these groups. And so this is, again, going to be, I think, a continual emphasis as we move forward of trying to encourage people to be a part of those groups, not only for our own growth, but for that of others. Again, it's easy to think, oh, well, you know, I'm doing okay. I don't necessarily need to be a part of a small group because I'm doing just fine without that. There may be others, though, that need to have you in their group and to be a part of their life. So that was the second area that we looked at. And then the third, and perhaps one of the largest areas that we really talked about in the context of our meetings on this as deacons and elders, was community impact. And we really looked at our church, and over the years, historically, Salem Springs Bible Church has and will continue to be a church that is strong in looking at our impact globally, right? I tell people when they ask me about my church, and I just say, it is such a blessing to be a part of this body where there are so many people who have served Christ in every part of the world. All over the world, and continue to be involved in supporting those who are serving Christ in other parts of the world. And that will continue to be true, I think, of this body as we move into the future. But as we looked at, again, as deacons and elders, we said, okay, well, we're supporting the work of planting churches and reaching people and supporting those in other places who are reaching and making disciples. How can we reach those who are unreached right here at home? And so we started to ask that question of how can we be involved in helping those who are in need right next door, connecting our community to Jesus. And out of that, we saw this, again, this last year, the launching of Love to Learn. Pat and the youth ministry started that in the summer, along with some of the adults from our church. And then that has continued on into the fall as we continue to serve some of the students, but also their families through that ministry that meets on Wednesday evenings. And we don't know exactly how that's going to look on into the 2018, but we intend to pray and ask God to continue to use that ministry in touching lives. We saw this last year as well, and have kind of highlighted in a couple of different ways those who are involved in serving with the ministry up in Knoll, Missouri. And there's working with a church up there, as well as others up there, to minister to a large group of people who have been resettled to this area. I don't know if many of you saw the video that was posted from the pastor of the Baptist church up there, but he mentions 11 different languages spoken in that little community of Knoll, Missouri, and the opportunity to reach and to help those who are new to our country and to this area as they settle there. It's really an opportunity to reach the nations right here at home. And so that's an area that we saw people begin to get involved in, as well as ongoing partnerships with New Life Ranch, Right Lead and Right Quest, partnerships with the Manna Center, Hunger and Thirst. Brian Palmer shared at our meeting in the 17th about the partnership that's taking place with, I think it's East Kenwood Baptist Church and Genesis House, in trying to provide transitional housing for those who are homeless in our community, and the possibility of maybe being a part of that as well as a church. And so this is, again, as we look back at and then look ahead to this coming year, look back last year and look ahead to this coming year, how can we be more involved in impacting our community individually, but also in our small groups and maybe through other ministries that God would bring to this church. And then finally, the fourth area that we talked about was our facility. And this is, again, I earlier mentioned that those numbers represent people. And so as we think about the numbers of the church, those numbers are each people. They're lives of people. And at the meeting in December, Brian, I think, shared with us this slide. We went back and we said, okay, if we're going to be intentional about making disciples, one of the pieces of being intentional about making disciples is having enough space. And this has continued to be a growing need in this body. For the last 3 years, we've been talking about this. We went back and we said, okay, well, how can we, you know, where's God taking us in this? How can we move forward in faith as God leads? And so we went back and we looked at all of the different options that have been considered recently and historically to provide the space needed for some of the ministry at this church. And you can see sort of the figures. The figures in red are how much would be required to either fundraise or borrow. This is after the sale of the property, if it's possible to sell the property for each option. So, for example, to buy land and build, we would be able to sell this property, but to buy the land and build new construction, this is roughly what the estimates were that we came up with and researched with people who are involved in construction and those kinds of things. We looked at other property that's available. For a while, Pleasant Springs, which is just down the road, was available, and we looked at that, but this is, again, what it would cost to after the sale of our property, to remodel and to build the necessary facility to do that. We looked at buying the land next door. We looked at with replacing the Quonset hut, buying the land next door, and building in addition and keeping the Quonset hut that we're meeting in. And then we looked at what would it cost to build or to buy like a warehouse and remodel if there was one available. So you buy existing construction and remodel it. And again, all of those are figures that we talked about, and each one we really felt like, okay, this is probably a little bit more than what we were anticipating to spend in order to accomplish this. And so we kept coming back to our original plan 3 years ago, which the congregation at that time voted on, to move ahead with beginning the process of negotiating with the Assembly of God to purchase their property. And what would that look like? Well, one of the concerns that we'd had raised at different points was, is that going to be enough property to meet our needs on into the future, right? If you look out, not just now, but 10 years, 20 years down the road, is that going to be sufficient? And what we hadn't realized 3 years ago when we looked at this was that in addition to the land that the church sits on, and that's the sort of the black and white down at the bottom of the picture, that's the church itself, the parking lot, and the Family Life Center that they have there. But in addition to that, there's this other land to the north that's highlighted in the white. And so those who were researching this went and looked into that. We talked to the person who owns that, who is willing to sell it. We talked to the city about what it would cost to develop, or what the possibilities of developing it would look like. And basically, with the two pieces, it totals about 9.3 acres. 34,000 square feet of already constructed, you know, building that's designed to be a church, there's the cost after, again, that red cost is after the sale of this property. And so at the meeting on the 17th, after all of this was shared, we also shared then a proposal from the deacons and elders, which is three things, and you can show the next slide. This was the recommendation, was to, first of all, begin negotiation or discussions with the Assembly of God, make an offer to them, and then work on coming to an agreement on purchasing their property with the intent of buying the additional acreage as well. So then number two would be to buy the additional acreage with the intent of buying the Assembly of God as well. And then the last one there is to try to accomplish this within the next calendar year. ideally trying to move by the summer of 2018. The Assembly of God is finishing construction on their property, and or their new building, and is planning to move out in late spring. And so our hope would be to maybe even move during this coming year. That's a big goal. And it's one that we're going to need a lot of prayer. And we are going to need God's help if that is going to be accomplished. But we believe and know that God is able to provide for that. And we wanted to share that not just with those who were there on the 17th, but with the whole body of Christ that meets here at Silent Springs Bible Church, so that we can all be praying together toward that end. So in the coming year, 2018, four things that that we talked about. First of all, to be welcoming one another, welcoming those especially who are new to this body of Christ. And that may look like just, again, learning names. That's a good place to start. But it also may include, after you get to know somebody's name, inviting them to join you if they're not already in a Sunday school class. Or maybe they don't have a small group and you have room in your small group for them. Or maybe it's just even going out to lunch with somebody and getting to know more about them and beginning to develop that relationship with them. But to, again, welcome those who are coming into this body that God is bringing here. Second, to be involved in our small group ministry. And again, that is not only for my sake, right, for my own growth, but also because there are others who will benefit from the experience and the knowledge, the understanding that I have to share within the context of those relationships. Number three, community impact. How can we make a difference for Christ in our community? And to be praying again with the leadership about this. Maybe you have a passion and an idea that you want to share, or some area that you see a need, and just want us to be praying with you for that need within our community. But we are seeking the Lord and how we can make a difference in our community. And then finally, to be praying with us for the needs related to the facility and the space needs here at the church, not only for Sunday morning, but on Wednesday evenings, Friday mornings, during a lot of the ministry of the week, this place gets very crowded. And I know here at First Service, there's plenty of chairs. And I appreciate those who are coming to this First Service very much, because as everybody comes back from the holidays, that second service has gotten to be quite full. And sometimes it's even hard to find seats together for families and so forth. And so honestly, the more you can come to this first service, the better. Because that helps with some of the situation as well. But be praying with us, be patient, and then partnering as well. Because again, if that goal of moving the summer of 2018 is to be met, there's going to be a lot happening over the next 6 or 7 months. And so there's going to be plenty of opportunities to partner with and to serve here at the church. All right, well, I promised that we would get back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And so I want to go back, and I want to highlight particularly the first two verses that I read, verses 2 and 3. Paul writes, "We give thanks to God always for all of you constantly, mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, your labor of love, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he goes on and he talks about how they were examples to the other believers in Macedonia and Achaia because these very same things that he's just highlighted. And so I want to talk about these three qualities that Paul has mentioned, which he holds as examples for believers, and things that I believe as a church we want to strive for. And the first one that he mentions is our work of faith. The church there in Thessalonica, when they received Christ, did not simply receive him as a sort of a set of beliefs that were to be held to, a right and orthodox doctrine, but rather they saw this as something that was to be lived out, that this was a work of faith. My faith in Christ is more than just what I believe in my mind, but it is something that impacts the way that I live. That theirs was a faith that was lived out. And we want to be a people who live out our faith in Jesus Christ, who see a difference, or where there's a different scene because now I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And so it impacts the way that I live in my home, in my relationships, in my home with my husband or my wife or my children. It makes a difference in the relationships that I have at work and the relationships I have with my neighbors. It makes a difference in how I view the whole world, the world around me. So there is a work of faith that takes place that is a result of my relationship with Jesus Christ. The second thing that he mentions is a labor of love. Loving one another and loving those who are in need. He talks specifically about how they demonstrated this love as he came to be with them, and they welcomed him in, right? They welcomed him into their community. They welcomed him in, and the way that they treated him was an example to others. And so when we talk about how we treat one another within the body of Christ, and we talk about welcoming those who come to visit and those who come to this body who are new, and as we talk about these authentic relationships that develop within our small groups, and as we talk even about loving those in the community through ministries like Love to Learn and these other things that we've talked about this morning, again, this is that labor of love that Paul is talking about. It's showing the love of Christ, following the example of Christ in his own ministry and in his own life. And how we do that as a church matters. It makes a difference. And then finally, he mentions this steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. A steadfastness, unfailing hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In all of the things that we've talked about this morning, in the ministries of our church currently, that are already ongoing, things like our youth ministry and our senior connection and Mothering Matters and our children's ministry, our Sunday school ministry, all of these things that we currently are a part of, the things that we're talking about as we talk about community impact and reaching and making disciples, as we talk about small groups and as we talk about welcoming one another, all of this is done. All of this is done because of Jesus. That he is the focus of all of it. It's to connect people to Jesus. It's to bring glory to him. That is the purpose, the final purpose of all that we do and everything we're about. That he would be glorified, that others might come to know him. As we wait, as Paul wraps up that passage, as we wait for his Son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come.